You can imagine today is International Orphan Care Sunday. It's a day recognized all over the globe to acknowledge those who find themselves born into circumstances that are less fortunate. And as a result of that heartache, they find themselves grappling with what to do, what step to take, which way to go. And today, as we look inside of His Word, we have an interesting moment. I want to take you into a moment that is a part of the One Heart story and certainly a part of my own personal life. This summer, the phone rang, and on the other end was an orphan from another country. And the orphan began to tell the story that for all of her life, she had dreamed to meeting her real father. And so this dream had become something that she was focused on and fixated. She was a child of a prostitute. So the odds of being able to discover who her father is and was were limited beyond words. And yet she began a pursuit of that, young in life, looking, trying to find that connection point. And so on the phone this summer, she called with such ecstasy that you won't believe this, but I have found my father. I know his name. I know where he is. And I intend to surprise him this summer. I intend in the next few weeks to actually go and see him and meet him. Well, you can imagine how joyful she was, how happy she was that she had finally found what she was looking for. Sadly, when she arrived at the area where her birth father was, her biological father, she also had a phone number to reach him. And so she called him and she said, "Hello, I'm here to meet you. All of my life, I've wanted to meet you." The phone was silent on the other end. And finally, the birth father said to her, "You have wasted your time. I had wished that you had never been born. And I certainly do not want to meet you. Please go back home." Well, you can fathom for a moment. At one moment, you're right here, and the next moment, you are broken beyond words. And as she was relaying to me her experience, two different moments of contact over the span of a few weeks, there was only one verse that could capture what I was feeling at that point, and it was in John chapter 14. And if you have your Bible, turn to that in verse 18. I want to show you something, because it's interesting how Jesus speaks to the issues of what you and I need to know that stir our minds, stir our hearts beyond our comprehension. Because these words gave comfort to a troubled soul. In John 14, verse 18, listen to what Jesus said. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. As I read this verse, this young lady who was broken and in despair, all of a sudden she realized something. I do have a father who doesn't reject me. I do have a father who loves me. And in that moment, I emphasized with her the last part of this verse where Jesus says, "I will come to you." And let me tell you what's encouraging about that. You and I represent a child in foster care in Atlanta, Georgia, as the Jesus who will come to them. You and I represent Jesus all over the world. Just a few weeks ago, I watched as Berna Welch held a little orphan child in Tanzania. And precious little one. And as I watched that, I realized that God gives us the opportunity to teach every child, every person, that what Jesus said is true. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And what I want you to think about today is, I told you this story on Orphan Sunday to remind you of why we do what we do. But my intent is bigger than that. Because my intent as we spend this entire month building a bridge to hope is to stir your mind beyond words. To stir you. And that's what we talk about today, because we find ourselves in an interesting passage of Scripture. If you have your Bible, open to 2 Peter chapter 3. When you get to the third chapter of 2 Peter, it's the culmination of Peter's focus on people realizing that some folks think the story doesn't end the way God intended, but it does. And oftentimes we look at a story and we see only a chapter of it and we think, how does this story end well? How does this story move forward? How is it God accomplished what he intended? And listen carefully, he writes a beautiful story even in the brokenness and sadness of a wicked world. He writes a great story. We just have to be willing to acknowledge what that story is all about and to get in on what it is he has for our life. And so today, as you think about that, I want to just read a couple statistics to you. And I want you to think about this, because the truth of the matter is, you have to ask yourself this question. What truly stirs you? That's the question you have to ask yourself today, because I'm going to tell you what happened. We are oblivious to so much. We miss so much. And we end up missing the things that matter the most. And we become oblivious to the things that he wants to show us. And today, as we look at this text, I want you to think about, what if you see it the way God intended? What if you see it as the way Peter wrote it, that it would say something to you, it would stir you a little bit. It'll stir you. Listen carefully. I wrote a few statistics down just to kind of remind us all of what it is that is a part of our world. In our world, since the time of Jesus, 70 million people have died for the name of Jesus. 70 million. In the 20th century, 45 million of those have died. Which, here's the question you got to ask yourself. Is there not an intensity at the point of persecution in light of the story we're about to read? That Jesus has a perfect plan. He's coming back. He has something for all of us. He has a plan in store for each one of our lives. We just have to be stirred to know. We anticipate it. We wait for it. Another statistic that might be intriguing to you. In the last 10 years, 100,000 a year have lost their life. 11 people a day. 11 people a day die because they claim the name of Jesus and won't reject it. And I have a quick reminder to all of us. We sit in our culture thinking that we have this giant mass of people who claim his name and will stand for him no matter what. And the reality is that's not true. Because what we've created is cultural Christianity. We've created a mindset that if you don't have anything else connected into what's going on, then he becomes first. But if you have anything else, he becomes second. And I'm going to tell you what happens with that. When trials come, when difficulty comes, when persecution comes, when challenges come, which, by the way, is coming to this land, is coming to this world we live in. And as a result of that, we have to look and ask ourselves, do we really believe enough to have our minds and hearts stirred to accomplish what God intended? That's exactly why Peter wrote these words, because he knew something. There were people saying the wrong thing to them. And I'm going to tell you, we live in a day where people say a lot of wrong things. For example, someone will say, everything is right in the eyes of whoever it is that's doing it, as long as they feel good about it. Well, the truth of the matter is, that is an absolutely sinful thought that's not from God. Because we're responsible for our actions. We're responsible for our choices. We're responsible for our thoughts. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We have to be willing to think about where we are, what we're about. And so you think about statistically, one other statistic, in the world, 30% of the world claims the name of Christ. 80% of all persecution affects the Christian, that 30% of our world. And so you begin thinking, now wait a minute now, okay, Pastor, you shared these statistics, you shared different things. Here's what I'm trying to show you. We, if we're not careful, become numb to the very reality of what it is God has called us to do because our hearts are not stirred. We're not stirred to accomplish what he intended. We have an epidemic in our culture of sex slaves all across the world, everywhere. And people are captured into bondage and stolen away from their identity. We don't see a lot about that. We don't hear a lot about that. You know, the truth of the matter is, it's everywhere. And what I want you to think about today is this. As you think about this passage, I want you to begin to think now, wait a minute, if I'm stirred, maybe I should take action. So look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Now listen carefully. I want you to get in your mind that God has something for you. All right? Which, by the way, if you know he has something for you, you pay more attention. It'd be like you coming to the Christmas tree in a few weeks from now. And you look under that tree, and under that tree are 5 gifts that have your name on them. And you say to yourself, man, that's the gift I want to claim. That's the gift I want to open. You don't go open somebody else's gift. You open your gift. And what you discover is God has something for us. He doesn't put it under a tree, but he does put it under the cross. And he shows us something about how he wants us to live our lives. And it's exactly why 2 Peter chapter 3 was written. Now, remember, Peter's writing to people who are hearing a lot of things that are not true. All right? Not filtered through Scripture, not witnessed by the Holy Spirit. They are just things they're hearing. And so he writes in chapter 3, verse 1, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder." Now, I want you to stop right there and look at the word stirring, okay? And when you look at the original text, here's what it means: to conquer complacency in your life. I'm stirring you up to conquer what causes you to be complacent about what matters most. And it's the very thing that causes you and I to be able to have effective lives. When we get beyond what makes us complacent, we get focused on what matters, something begins to transpire that's really powerful. Look on, though. Verse 8. I'm going to come back to some of these verses, but I want you to look at how Peter writes. Verse 8. "But do not let this one fact escape your notice." All right, remember, stirred, don't be complacent, don't miss this, beloved. That which with the Lord today is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. All right, key word there, repentance, which is what he's saying. The only way you awaken to what it is that stirs you up is to know you have a right relationship with him. How do you get a right relationship with Christ? How do you encounter Christ in a way that gives you the right relationship? You repent of who you are and experience who he is. That's exactly what Peter's trying to say. Look on, verse 17. "You therefore," and here's the culmination of everything he's saying, "you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. Fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace of the Lord and the knowledge of Jesus. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity." What is he trying to get across here? Our action in obedience opens the door to our level of opportunity. In other words, if I learn how to obey and I act on that, whatever it is he calls me to do, it opens the door. Now imagine for a moment that I call upon you at church and say, "You know what, folks, I want you to think about something. Behind this door is an opportunity that is unprecedented. But you have to ask yourself, will I go through this door or will I stay on this side of it?" And watch this. If your heart is stirred, you begin to say, "You know what, I'm going through that door no matter what." But what happens oftentimes is we don't want to go through that door because on the other side of the door, we have the unknown. And what I want you to think about today is this, as it relates to your life and it relates to what it is God wants to do through you. What if you came to church today and his intent was to stir your mind at a place you didn't intend to think? What if he just all of a sudden starts causing you to think, "You know, wait a minute, I want you to become a person of action, not just talk about it." And I'm going to be honest with you, it is so much easier to talk about it than it is to do it. Love every person, easy to say, hard to do. You have to be willing to look and say, "You know, wait a minute now. So what are the steps I take that allow me to become a person of action?" What I want you to see today is this. If I get stirred for a reason. I get stirred to accomplish what it is God intends. And so I want to suggest to you three things that really allow you, steps you should take that allow you to learn how to be stirred and accomplish what it is God has for you by way of action. These steps are simple yet wise. First one is it, which is what verse 1 is all about. Stop and listen. Stop and listen. In other words, take a moment and take in what it is that God has for you, what he's trying to say to you. And I don't know if you've ever been at a light too long, where the light stays red longer than you want it to be. And you're sitting at the light, and I watched this yesterday. So interesting. There was a young lady with this fancy machine that she was driving, and she was completely frustrated the light wouldn't turn green. And she was trying to get out into the traffic to get onto Medlock. And so she's honking, she's screaming, she's yelling. And the car that she's honking at, yelling at, screaming at, has no regard for her whatsoever. Because here's what that car did, and maybe you have this happen to you too. The car that was in front of her left a distance about from here to about here open between them. It was not enough space for her fancy machine to fit in. It was just enough space for her to honk to get the guy to move. And so I'm watching her, and it's interesting, by the way. You ever stop and just watch somebody else and go, "Wow, They're really uptight. I saw it at Chick-fil-A yesterday. I mean, you see it everywhere. People get uptight. And so finally, she's honked, she screamed, she's done sign language, she's done everything. All right? And then all of a sudden the light turns green finally, and the car scoots on. And it's so interesting. I'll never forget this moment. That's why I'm trying to teach you something to help you. I'm sitting there. I'm the car that's letting her in, okay? I'm the gracious person who's being kind, not in a hurry at the light, which is not always the case, but it was the case yesterday. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, and it's interesting what she did. Her face, it was so red when she was mad, you could fry an egg on it. I mean, she was angry. But when the light turned green, I'll never forget this. She looks around at me with this giant smile and wave. And I'm sitting there going, what did I just watch? I just watched somebody who wanted to operate on their own terms instead of the terms of the law. And here's what I want you to get in mind. When it comes to how God works, sometimes he wants you to stop and listen. But he doesn't stop there. We got to have to make a decision. We got to decide to act. It's the very thing that we've watched and witnessed throughout this entire year of 2017. People deciding to act, deciding to live out their faith, deciding to pray, deciding to believe, deciding to commit. And what does it all come down to? It comes down to building a bridge of hope to people. All over our city, people are finding that hope. And I'm going to tell you, when I was so blessed and privileged to be at the Ladies Gilgal Ministry this week, and sitting in that ministry, I saw people who decided to act, to minister to people who were battling addiction, battling different things. And what an encouragement was to me, because somebody decided to act. So I want you to think about it. What if you stop long enough to listen to what I'm saying today? And then you go, you know what, I'm going to act on this. And here's what is key to every action plan. You have to surrender your agenda. You have to say, he takes precedent over me. I'm going to tell you what you discover. We all live busy lives. We all have many things on our agenda. We all have many things we're trying to accomplish. But none of that is as important as what it is God wants to do through us. So I want you to think about today. You're sitting in church and you begin to ask yourself a question. What is my agenda? Is my agenda to accumulate more? Is my agenda to enjoy more? Is my agenda to ignore more? What is my agenda? And all of a sudden you go, wait a minute now, Pastor, I think you're challenging us to have a new focus, to zero in on what it is God wants to do through us. And that is exactly what Peter did, all right? So in this text, there are five biblical action steps that we can all take. The first one is in verses 1 and 2, all right? So I want you to listen. I'm going to give you these five steps, and I want you to think about what happens if you simply take these steps. And I'll tell you what you'll discover. You take them, your life begins to blossom, your life begins to shine, and your heart begins to be stirred in an amazing and powerful and new way. All right, so imagine for a moment, you begin to think through what Peter's saying. Now remember, he's writing a letter to people who, watch this, have quit acting and just started thinking, and he wants to make sure that they act as well. And so, as a result, they begin to listen carefully. And begin in verse 1, notice what he says here. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Now, what is his focus point here? What is his action step? What is it he wants us to do? Watch this carefully. He wants us to come to the place where we become careful at what we listen to. To be careful what we listen to, all right? Because he says you got to be stirred up, which means you eliminate complacency. And as you're stirred up, you begin to experience what it is God intends, and you quit listening to stuff that doesn't matter. Because it's interesting, by the way, everyone has an opinion, the Lord has an answer. And what happens oftentimes is we find ourselves caught up in opinions, caught up in thoughts, and we miss the very essence of what God wants to do through it. What would happen today if all of a sudden you started going, you know what? I'm going to be a little more careful what I hear. You ever hang around somebody who's negative, and by the time they finish, you go, wow, the world is falling apart. And then you come home and you go, wait a minute now. God's at work. He's doing a great thing. And watch this carefully. The persecution of those all over the world is not something to cause us to back away from what it is God has for us. It's to cause us to listen to what it is he has for us and to respond accordingly. So be careful what you listen to. Verse 3 through verse 7. Look on. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come after their own mocking, with their own mocking, following after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at one time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So what is he saying here? You have to be wise to remember what matters. You have to be wise to remember, and here's what I want you to get in mind. Here Peter begins to tell them, you may think this story just rocks along and nothing changes, and it's interesting because he says these people, they mock. Watch this. They mock and they follow what they want, their lust. All right? So what does mockery say? Mockery say there isn't a Christ. There is no answer. And listen carefully. Anybody in here who's ever had a loved one who's gone on before them, you recognize something. There is provision. It is made by God because his intent was to ensure, watch this, to ensure that he ultimately accomplished what he intended. And what happens here is Peter said, no, be careful now. Be careful. Be wise. Be wise what it is you remember, because if you remember the wrong thing, you miss everything that God intended. And so imagine for a second, you're sitting in church and all of a sudden you're like, whoa. I need to be more careful. I need to be more wise. In other words, I need to remember the right things. And it's interesting because what does God's word do for us? It gives us promises to hang on to that guide us forever. That's what his promises do. And if you and I get his promises inside of us, what happens to it? We get invigorated to remember what matters the most. And that's why when you read scripture, what does it do for you? The Bible does something for you because it opens you up beyond yourself. This very week, last night, an orphan wrote me a message on Facebook and said, you want to believe what I did yesterday and today? And I said, well, what did you do? He said, I read the Bible all day yesterday and all day today. And as that person was writing, I thought to myself, you know what? They linked themselves. They found wisdom to remember what matters the most, to hang on to the promises of God. So imagine for a moment, you're sitting here and all of a sudden you start, wait a minute, I'm going to live that out the right way. Look on to verse 8. So I want to show you a third thing. All right. First of all, be wise. First of all, be careful. Secondly, be wise. All right. Look on. Verse 8 and 9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow, which, by the way, that means he's never late. He's never late. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. What's the third thing that we have to do in order to have an action plan? We have to be attentive to his promises. We have to know that he has a promise for whatever it is we're facing. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you get attentive, something begins to transpire. Yesterday, I was at the park with three of my three oldest grandchildren. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you go to the park with more than one, it's hard to keep up. And so they're all three. And by the way, they all have their own minds. They're all going their own way. The same thing church members do. Got their own mind going their own way. And so I'm looking up and I'm watching these grandkids, and all of a sudden, I looked at them and I said, you know, if you will pay attention, you'll be blessed. And I want you grandkids to listen to my voice. They all looked at me and said, okay, Gaga, I will do that. And they went the wrong way. None of them paid attention to anything. But then it became lunchtime. And we're going to Chick-fil-A. And they said, Gaga, we either need cupcakes or ice cream. One or the other. So what are we going to get? I said, you're not going to get either if you don't eat your food. And so what do? They start eating their food. But back to the playground for a moment. At the playground, there was one moment where they scattered so fast I couldn't keep up with them. And I was sitting there going, oh man, I need to be attentive. I'm sitting there thinking, what will my kids say if I call them and say, I can't find Audrey? I can tell you what they'd say. We're going to kill you. You are never going to take the kids again. You're never going to have the privilege again. And so we came to the culminating moment of that entire experience, and they came up to me and they asked the question, can we swing? And I'm going to tell you, that was the most precious question I've ever been asked. Because when you're in swings, you're captive. You can't get out of the swing without you. So I braced them all in the swing, and I pushed all three at the same time. And it was the best 10 minutes of the whole park. The rest of the time, I'm walking around. I don't know if you do this, but I walk around. Anybody in this park not supposed to be here? Anybody not supposed to be around these kids? I'm saying, I'm watching everything, keep my eyes open, and watching. And they're like this. They're scattered. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, how am I ever going to keep up? And every one of them are yelling the same thing. Hey, watch me. Watch me. And I want you to get this in your mind. When it comes to his promises, watch this. We all get in the swing of life. And out of obedience to his promises, we get to hear him speak to our hearts and life. What would happen today if all of us lived out the promise of what it has for our life? I'll tell you what happened. All of a sudden, we get very attentive. Very attentive. And it's interesting, by the way, what inspires someone to eat. It may be ice cream, it may be a cupcake. But the reality is, they ate their food. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes God has a little cup of ice cream for you. It's the joy of knowing you've done what it is God intends for you. And what happens here is, he said, don't be worried. 1,000 is one, 1 is 1,000. So let me give you a little snapshot. All of us in this room have people who've gone on before us. And our first thought is they've been gone so long. They've left us many years ago, a few years ago. They've left us. The reality is when you get to heaven, it is not going to be like you think. Because it's not going to be, oh my goodness, I didn't think you'd. I mean, can you imagine your loved one walking and say, I didn't think you'd ever get here. Now, some of your loved ones may walk up and say, I'm glad you got here. I mean, it depends on how you've lived. It may not be as promising as you think, but they walk and say, man, I'm so glad you finally got here. I've just been here about 15 minutes. And you're like, 15 minutes? You mean 25 years or 15 minutes? And what I want you to get in mind is this. When you learn how to live in a way of holding on to promises, it changes your life forever. Verse 10, look on. We're gonna make sure we don't miss any of this. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, notice this question. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What's the fourth action step he gives us here? We have to be willing to be holy in our pursuit of him. And I'm going to tell you, it's interesting, by the way. When you look at this verse, if you look again at verse 11, our conduct is how we are on the outside. Our holiness is how we are on the inside. And watch what he said. There should be a parallel between how we're living in the world and how we're living for him. So inside of us, there's something powerful going on. But beyond that, people also see us living out our faith in a vibrant and dynamic and powerful way. You just have to think about it. Wait a minute now. Am I holy in pursuit of him? Because what happens is, watch this, if you're not stirred to pursue him, what happens to you? Things get in your way. You get too busy. Things pass on. I was talking to one of my dear friends this week, and their birthday's coming up in a few days, and it's interesting because he said, you know, when you get my age, you forget, you don't want any more of those. You forget those. And I was thinking about the refreshment in my soul when I talk to somebody whose heart is fixed on eternal purpose. It's not the years of our lives, not the days of our lives. It's our intent to accomplish what he intends. Imagine what would happen today if all of a sudden you began to accomplish exactly what he intended and you were stirred to do it. Which, by the way, if he doesn't stir you, it only lasts a little while. I've been married 40 years, 40 years plus. And I'll never forget when we first got married. My wife was born into a pastor's home. Her dad, a wonderful godly man, still alive. I was born into an alcoholic home. My dad's been gone a long time. And so we first got married, my wife and I, we had different interactions. And my wife cried for the first 2 months, if that gives you any idea. I wasn't sure what she's crying about, but it was a long time of tears. And so I'd ask her once, well, what are you crying about? I don't know. I'm just saying. You know what? If you're going to cry, I have a reason, all right? So you can imagine how I was in that whole process. I'm like, wow, I never knew you're not married to this. She's crying every day. And so we're married a couple weeks, and I look at her and I'm going to tell you something. I know that you really like me to be like somebody. I mean, I know you studied the Bible all your life. You've read all these scriptures. And this, by the way, this is before I'm a pastor, okay? I said, I know you've read the Bible. You believe it. And I do too. I'm with you on that. But don't try to change me. Because if you try to change me, it'll last about 3 weeks. If you let God change me, it'll last for a lifetime. And what I want you to think about is this. God wants to stir us where we're changed by Him. And that's why this final command is so important. Look at it with me if you would, and we're finished. Look on down at verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, and the firmness of who you are. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. To Him be the glory. What's He saying here? Be on the guard so you can grow. Be on the guard to become who you're supposed to be. See, the truth of the matter is, the day came and my wife did quit crying. And her heart began to fix on what it is only God can do. And it's interesting because the only other time when her tears would come, they would always come to something that was eternal and critical and important. And what I want you to get in mind is this. What happens if all of a sudden you just take these words and you take them home with you today? I'm going to be careful first. I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be attentive. I'm going to be holy. And I'm going to be guarded in what God's entrusted me. I'll tell you what happened. You start living that way. You get so stirred. You go, man, this is something powerful, something amazing. And I had the privilege this week of sitting and visiting with Sonny Gale about his sister who passed away in October. And let me tell you what I love. Sometimes you get to hear the whole story of upbringing, of everything that transpired, and what God has done in and through each life. And what I want you to think about is this. You ought to guard the treasures of what God's given you. And if He's given you something amazing to experience, let it become the part of your story that changed your life forever. My question simply to you is this. Will you let Him stir you? Will you let Him stir you up and cause you to be so focused, so impactful? Because I'm going to tell you what happened. If God stirs you, your life will be changed forever. And that's my prayer for you today. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for everyone in Your house on this day. I pray in a special way You'd bless each person. In this room could be people who are stirred by You, stirred to become a part of this family, stirred to accomplish Your mission, stirred to accomplish the things You intend. Lord, if there's someone here who's never experienced who You are, we want to help them find You. If there's someone here who's become a part of our family, I pray You'd speak to their hearts. Lord, whatever it is, I pray You'd move in this place in an amazing way. For we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.